This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Lynn Neary. Some people are rethinking the tradition of gift giving. For example, the website whatididn'tbuy.org. It gives family and friends the option to donate to a charity based on the dollar value of the tie or earrings they chose not to buy you. The idea is to make charitable gift giving a little less abstract. Well, NPR's Allison Aubrey reports on another organization that's doing just that with animals.
To find out just what $40 will get you in the toy aisle this season, I've come to Target to check things out. Here's one. It's in a remote-control robotic puppy that wags its tail and makes funny puppy sounds. Jim Eckhart says there was a time he'd fill his shopping cart with these kinds of toys for his 6 grandchildren, but a few years back he had an epiphany. The kids all had too much stuff, and their parents agreed. A lot of toys just end up as junk.
That's right, and then probably in a couple of years put it in a garage sale. You look at all of the things that we throw away, and that money could be put to better use.
But how? After checking out alternatives, Eckhart settled on the idea of livestock, farm animals. He'd give one animal on behalf of each grandkid.
We bought one of them, a little flock of chickens. Another one, I think it was a pig. I think actually we bought Lydia a goat.
Now, Lydia, who was about 7 at the time and lives in the Bay Area in California, remembers it well. When she heard about the gift, she thought she was getting a new pet.
Yeah, he gave me a goat, and I remember I didn't really understand. I thought I was actually getting a goat.
But then her mom, Jolene Laporte, explained to her that the gift was really something else entirely. It was a contribution given in her name. She was never going to see this animal, but through the organization Heifer International, a goat would be given from her to a poor family in Vietnam or Africa. The family could drink the goat's milk, breed the animal, and eventually perhaps sell the goat meat.
It wasn't the way they were thinking of it as, oh, a fun pet. It was actually an animal that was going to help these people earn money for food and clothing and just really the bare essentials of life.
The idea that giving someone a few goats or a flock of chicks can change their life by giving them a way to earn a living is not new. But how does it actually work? Well, Heifer's been around since the 1940s. It has about $100 million in annual revenues and 400,000 donors. Heifer gets high marks for keeping administrative costs low and using the contributions to both buy the animals and provide training and support to the recipients. In a nutshell, it's the teach a man to fish model.
What we're trying to do is establish a base from which individuals who are really, really poor, who are truly the poorest of the poor, generate a source of income for many years to come.
Dean Carlin is a professor of economics at Yale who studies innovative solutions to poverty. He says groups such as Heifer are popular with donors because people love the idea of connecting one family with one animal. They can tell their friends.
I gave somebody a goat, and that's a very real thing, and we understand what that is. And it makes us, and it's very concrete, and it's yet small enough that we can actually give it, and that makes us feel good. It's much better than thinking I gave $50 towards a $3 million project, of which what did my money really do?
Carlin says the part that's more complicated for donors to understand is that on its own, the gift of one goat or a pig is not a magic bullet. It takes a lot more to lift someone out of poverty and keep them there. It's a complicated process.
It's easy to make things sound good, and there are lots of things that work, but it's not always the things that sound best.
Carlin has never evaluated Heifer, but in studying similar programs, he finds what works best is what he calls the big push. You give the recipients livestock, but you also train them to care for their animals. You help them set up savings accounts, get their children in school, even give them short-term food assistance so they don't end up eating that one goat they've been given. Steve Worlin, who works in Haiti for a charity called Fankozi, uses this big push approach. We reached him on his mobile phone outside Port-au-Prince, where he'd just wrapped up a coaching session with one woman named Olani, who was given some goats.
The ultra-poor are not used to planning of any sort. They're used to waking up every day and figuring out where they're going to get food that day to feed their kids.
But Olani is now able to plan a bit. Her goats have had kids, so she's got a bunch of them, and she's planning to trade 7 of them for a horse, which she'll use to haul more goat meat to market instead of having to carry it herself.
It dramatically expands her ability to have a business.
And this puts her one more step up the long staircase out of poverty.
The kids are getting 2 meals a day. They're in school. The asset base is starting to develop. All the problems aren't solved. They're still very poor, but They're not desperate.
It's just the beginning of building a better life. And for many donors, their gift of a goat or a chicken is just the beginning, too. Remember Lydia Laporte, who was confused by her grandfather's gift of a goat? Well, not anymore. She's now 14, and she's helped raise about $20,000 for Heifer from her friends and family.
And if you just think about the big picture and everything that we have, we should be the happiest people because we're, like, a lot of the most fortunate.
Lydia says her own awareness of poverty has taught her that getting stuff doesn't make her nearly as happy as giving. Allison Aubrey, NPR News.